Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Right now, we're joined by our baseball insider from ESPN, Buster Olney. Buster, good morning. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. What's going on?
Well, just looking for some good news, Buster. You got a whole bushel of it for us?
Oh, my goodness. I think I told you guys the story that I do a Saturday morning radio hit on ESPN, and I told the producer about 7 weeks ago, I said, sorry, I feel like you need to nickname me Dr. Doom, because every time I come on, it's like, well, here are the dark clouds on the horizon, and I wish I had something else to offer for you, but I guess if you want to look at the positive side, at least baseball's trying, and at least they're going to start to make the effort to try to put this back together. But I think, a lot of people holding their breath to see what the positive test numbers are as players gather for this summer camp.
Now tell us, I know that earlier this week you were on ESPN Radio, and I want to get it right. You said there's a 5% chance that MLB will start on time, and 0% chance the season will be completed. Is that accurate?
Yes. Those were the numbers I applied, and I will be absolutely clear here. I'm just a dopey sports writer who's making phone calls. I'm not a doctor, and I don't, have any workable information on coronavirus. I just call people with various teams, and based on those conversations, and I was hearing, continue to hear things like this is false hustle, this is something that's, it's doomed to fail, it's destined to fail. There is a lot of skepticism at the team level that they're going to be able to pull this together. And I wrote in a column the other day that for baseball to attempt to restart now, and this isn't anybody's fault, it's just the reality of it. To attempt to restart right now is like dropping a sailboat into the water just as the hurricane appears on the horizon. Because, we've seen the enormous spikes in numbers of the coronavirus in these states, which are huge for baseball. Florida, Texas, Arizona, California, not only because, a third of the teams are from those states in Major League Baseball, but so many players live there. And so in recent days, as players have begun the process of traveling back, they're leaving those states, and they're, going through airports and being in contact with people, which is why I think folks around the game are really cringing. And here's the other factor that I'm hearing a lot from the team level, that initially there's a lot of pushback from some players on the health and safety protocol. Some players are all in. Guys like, as we talked about last week, Jake Diekman, who's considered to be high risk because of his history of colitis and multiple surgeries. I'm sure, if you ask Jake to wear a mask and do whatever social distance, he's all good. But teams have been hearing from some players that they think it's silly and that some of it is overdone. And, I heard one example, for instance, about one training site before, this effort to get everybody together was going on, that some players are socially distancing, and there are other players there who are making fun of them and saying, this is silly. What are we doing here? And I think you guys would agree with me. If this is going to work, everyone's got to be pulling the rope in the same direction. But, what we're seeing in baseball so far does mirror what we're seeing in this country, where different people have different perspectives on some of these health and safety protocols.
And that's why we're watching sports being played in other countries and not here.
Nate, can I just to jump in to give context to what you just said? The expectation is within the next week they're going to have fans in the stands in baseball in South Korea. Well, that's because in the month of June, in every day, each day in the month of June, were there even 100 positive tests in the entire country of 52 million people. In the last 5 days, we've had about 200,000 positive tests in this country. In the last 5 days.
I mean, I just want to bang my head against the wall right now, Buster, because we are doing this to ourselves, and we're going to keep paying the price for whatever. We live in the world of sports. I'm sure that there are other industries out there that are suffering. I'm sure, like, I have a friend who works in the arts, and I'm sure the arts, you know, if you're into ballet or whatever, that's suffering too. But I live in the world of sports, and so this is what I see. And we're putting ourselves in this position because of what you just said, and it floors me to hear that players would be saying this right now amidst all of what we're seeing. And I'm as a soccer guy, like, the competition that they're trying to play is on thin ice right now, because 9 guys on one team just tested positive. If anybody thinks this isn't going to happen in your sport that you love, because these players are existing in our society, they do come in contact with the rest of us. Their numbers are going to be reflective of our numbers, and it's just, I don't even know what to say right now, Buster, because it's like you can see this coming, like that hurricane you talked about. You can see when a hurricane's coming. It doesn't just, like, drop out of the sky, and we can see, if you're paying attention to what's going on around you right now, we can see this is coming, and we have the power to do something about it if we could actually get together collectively and do something about it. But I can't say that I have any optimism that that's going to happen.
No, absolutely not, and we've seen how in other sports there's that fear. You guys, I'm sure, have seen the interview with Damian Lillard, where he is not optimistic that the players are going to follow the health and safety protocol. You know, I just, in talking with so many players and front office people, you might have some people, for example, who are teammates to a Jake Diekman, would recognize his situation, or that of Sean Doolittle, the reliever of the Nationals, whose wife is high risk because of past lung problems. And they might say, you might have some teammates who would say, you know what, I'm going to wear a mask because of Jake Diekman, or I'm going to wear a mask because, you know, in our team meeting we talked about how we all have to pull together. But I think the skepticism among the front office people is rooted in the idea that you're going to get all 60 players to live like monks and to not go out at night and to not and to adhere to absolutely everything that they're being asked to do. They think the numbers are too great, that there are too many variables, and look, I, you know, don't know you know, as much about other sports as I do about the NBA, but when you look at what the NBA is attempting compared to what MLB is attempting, MLB's challenge is exponentially greater, because the NBA is talking about, you know, a bubble in one area, and you know, you essentially put up a perimeter of security, and you're able to contain who's coming and who's going. In baseball, there's so many different portals for people infected with the coronavirus to come in. You know, players, when they play their home games, you know, the Royals, you know, when they're on the road, you'd hope that the players all, you know, stick to the hotel and don't go out. But when they're at home, of course, they go back to their, you know, their residences, and they're around family members who've been out and about in the community during the course of the day, and that might be where they pick it up. Or there might be a friend who stops by at their house, and that's why it's being referred to among some of the folks I talked to as false hustle. Like, they just think, yesterday someone used the term Swiss cheese. Like, there's so many potential holes in this thing, and that challenge is made greater by the fact that you will have some players who are poo-pooing it.
Buster, do you think we can just get all of these players that are mocking everyone else to watch the video of Cubs pitching coach and local product from the Kansas City area, Tommy Hotovy, talking about his battle with COVID-19? I mean, seriously. I mean,
that's powerful.
How could you watch that and take that attitude? Well, I guess I shouldn't ask that, because I'm sure there will be some people that will watch it, and still that won't convince them. But, I mean, that's a young man, that's a healthy man that's in Major League Baseball. I mean, that's a perfect example right there of what we're talking about and the hell that he went through to battle COVID-19.
Yeah, sorry to laugh at the beginning. I thought you were going to say, is there any way we can put all the players who don't want to observe the protocol and put them in a bubble?
Yes.
Right.
No, Buster, that's a good idea. Yes, yeah. I agree.
But you're right. You know, the story Tommy told yesterday on radio and then speaking with the media members at large, I know, because I was texting back and forth with some players. That caught a lot of people's attention. Because, I mean, here's Tommy, totally healthy, 38 years old, you know, works out, is devoted to his health. He's active on a regular basis. And to hear his story about how bad it was, how long it took him to recover, you'd think that that would get everybody's attention. But I would have thought that, to your point, Nate, that, you know, 125,000 people dying. all the stories that we saw in late February, early March, coming out of Italy, stories coming from other parts of the country. But let's face it, it's been the split in this country's absolutely been mirrored by the response to the coronavirus, and that, again, it's, you see it in the ball players.
Look, and this is a new virus. We keep saying that. We learn things about it. But it's been around long enough now that we can look at other places. You just referenced what's going on in Korea and the fact that they're getting close to having fans back in the stands. There is evidence-based stuff out there now that tells us what we can do to get it under control. It's there now. It's right there for us to access. And by the way, Buster, real quick, on Tommy Hotovy, we have a relationship with him because he's a Kansas City guy, and Jake is in constant communication with one of Tommy's relatives. And this, I want people to hear this, because this goes back to what we're saying about in terms of when the virus is prevalent in a community and it's widespread, how easy it is to contract. Jake, what did Tommy's stepdad tell you about his actions?
Yeah,
and everything?
So we've had a relationship with Tommy on this show for a while, and so I've developed a bit of a relationship with his stepdad. We're, you know, a little more. We have contact back and forth during baseball season. He tells me some funny, you know, anecdotes, kind of keeps me in touch with what's going on with Tommy. But when I saw this story come out, I shot him an email yesterday, and he was kind of taken aback because they were, you know, they had to keep this pretty hush hush, and you know, but the thing was, he said that Tommy always wore a mask, always. He wore gloves anytime he went to a store or anywhere public. Said he did everything, took every precaution possible, didn't go out that much, and when he did, he was uber safe about it and still got it. And he said once he got rid of the fever, he started to feel better, but it took another 2 weeks of those tests till it finally turned negative. He kept testing positive for two straight weeks, even after the fever broke. And he said it was just absolutely just horrible to sit there and watch, because, you know, Tommy's stepdad and his mom, they could do nothing. They had to sit there, and from all reports that he told me, it was no fun, in all caps, and it was a scary moment for the whole family. And so it sometimes we can take all precautions and do everything perfectly, and still this happens.
And to underscore, that doesn't mean you shouldn't take all those precautions. Absolutely, we should be taking all those precautions, because it reduces the risk.
Yep.
But the point is that it's going to be difficult even if you take precautions. But if you got a bunch of guys on your team that are mocking the precautions, and you know, just look back at Rudy Gobert, right?
Yeah.
And I give him a little bit of benefit of the doubt, because at that time we really maybe didn't know. You could be forgiven for being ignorant about it in this country a little bit, and he tried to have some fun with it, and the next thing you know, there's an outbreak and he's at the center of it. And I don't know, Buster.
Yeah, the comparison I made in the column on Sunday, and I felt smarter today because a New York Times columnist used the same comparison, was you compare it to drinking and driving. It's the same thought process. It's not only about, you know, you don't drink and drive because you're protecting yourself, but you're also doing it to protect others and, you know, the potential damage you could affect others, and that's what wearing a mask is about. It's not, you know, only about protecting yourself. It's protecting other people from you in case you get this. And you know, to hear the stories about players who are pushing back, it's disheartening. And I think it's part of the reason why, you know, at the team level, that with some trepidation, you know, they are they're looking ahead now to these first numbers that are going to be released by Major League Baseball. I will say this: I am encouraged. I reported yesterday that Major League Baseball, despite pushback from the Players Association, they're going to release overall numbers. You know, you get why individuals like Tommy, had heard bits and pieces about that, but I'm going to respect his privacy. I'm glad that he was able to, control something that's is so important to him, is the news about his health. But the general numbers, the number of positive tests, the number of tests done, the percentage of tests, that to me is information that other players and other staffers need. And let's face it, also, Major League Baseball, in trying to, for example, play in Canada, in Toronto, or to play in Massachusetts, a lot of these municipalities and states, and in the case of whole country Canada, they have rules regarding coronavirus. They have mandates that you quarantine for 14 days. Major League Baseball, the teams have to ask for special permission of waivers in order to get those, and for that reason, they owe it to those municipalities to get the numbers out there, to let everybody know what the context is in terms of how many players are testing positive, how many players are sick. Those are things that people like Tommy, Jake Diekman, need to know as they make decisions about whether or not to participate.
Buster Olney is our guest. Buster, did you ever make that phone call to find out about the blackout restrictions for Major League Baseball in this short season?
No, I did not. I apologize. I promise you, fine. For next week I will. Promise you.
I put it on the to-do list.
I feel so guilty. I feel like back in college when the teacher said I gave you the one-day extension. Where's the paper?
I'll be honest with you, because I just have the recurring subscription for MLB.tv, because as you know, Buster, I'm a big rotisserie guy, so I like to watch Max Scherzer, I like to watch who I want to watch. I enjoy watching different games, and so I've just been waiting and waiting, and finally yesterday, I said screw it, and so I called to cancel it, and I was curious to see if there'd been any pushback, and there was. Just for people out there, in case you're also subscribed and you haven't canceled yours, I called. It was all canceled and done within 5 minutes. So I was happy that they handled it that way. Because look, even if it does happen, like there's so much uncertainty, and even 60 games, I finally gave up and been waiting and waiting. So I was happy to report, Buster, that the people at MLB.com and MLB.tv handled it the right way. At least for me yesterday.
as needs to happen, as they get all these refund requests. I'm sure you guys have seen, different teams have had different approaches with their fans when it comes to refunds. They need to do what the fans want them to do.
Well, speaking of doing what the fans want them to do, I saw a tweet from your colleague at ESPN, Trey Wingo. He got this from the Dan Patrick Show that Rob Manfred said, quote, "The reality is we weren't going to play more than 60 games, no matter how the negotiation with the players went or any other factor." And Trey's comment was, "So we dragged baseball through the mud publicly for no reason?" what's your response to that quote from Rob Manfred?
Yeah, I was surprised he said that out loud. Because, of course, I really was, because, we've been having this conversation about the potential grievance from the Players Association and whether or not they had the ammunition to win that. And it'll be interesting to see what was said during the negotiations about how many games they could actually play. Plus, on top of that, part of me makes it feel like, so you're telling me you couldn't play 62 games? You telling me couldn't play 64? Oh, please. Was that negotiation played out? It was, let's face it. When we look back at that time, we're going to just think of all the mistakes that were made, and I do think there are going to be some changes potentially on both sides because of it.
Buster Olney is our guest. So, Buster, camps are opening up. They're calling them summer camps. And so what do you expect over the next couple of days based on teams that you've talked to and personnel that you've talked to? We saw the Instagram post, the heartfelt post from Ian Desmond. I'd like to get your thoughts on that. But do you anticipate more players deciding not to show up after we've had a handful already make that decision this week?
Yeah, I think there are going to be some more players who drop out, and maybe they drop out during the course of the summer camp. You know, that's based on my conversations with some players and some agents who were telling me that they're guys who are wrestling with this, which is why I think the transparency in the numbers is going to be so important, because I do think some decisions will be along those lines. And look, from a team perspective, I think what's happening, you know, from general manager level on down, is they're trying to figure out, okay, what's the best way to try to pull these guys together as we move forward, because these challenges are unprecedented. You know, to play a 60-game season and to get everybody on board with that after difficult labor negotiations, amid all the concerns about, you know, positive coronavirus tests, and I think some of the messaging going out from talking with managers and talking with general managers is, look, we got to stay positive, and we're here. And, you know, we might not like everything that's happened up until this moment. We might have some concerns. Some of you might, you know, decide you don't want to be part of this at some point, but if you're here, let's go. Let's no whining, no complaining. Let's do everything we can to get ready. And I do think that, you know, there are going to be some teams that are going to be better at that than others. I you know, just having been around the Tampa Bay Rays, I think they're going to be really good at that, pulling their guys together. I think any team that's led by Terry Francona, the Indians manager, he's going to be really good at that. The Yankees have that sort of esprit de corps. I felt the Mets had that because Pete Alonso is such a great rallying voice for that group. And some teams, I don't think, are going to have that.
Buster Olney has been our guest, and we were all really impressed by the words of Ian Desmond. And you have different, you know, different teams with, you know, real reasons and real. They put real thought into this decision, and it's not just a knee-jerk reaction. Like, and you read those words from Ian Desmond, and that, I mean, I don't know how you could not read that stuff and not be touched by some of the things that he said.
Yeah, and Ian, you know, if you've gotten to know him at all, it's not surprising. He's such a good person. You know, he cited at the end of his 9-page Instagram post, you know, he's got 4 young kids. His wife, Chelsea, is pregnant with their 5th child, and he's foregoing the potential of earning $5 million to step away from baseball in this time. He also talked about the lack of diversity in baseball, which I can tell you, you know, especially since the killing of George Floyd, that has come up time and time again in conversations I have with people around baseball. I'm actually writing my Sunday column about how the truncated draft this year, the reduction of the minor league affiliates, is probably, in the eyes of a lot of people, you know, threatens to only exacerbate the lack of diversity in baseball.
Well, that's one of the things that I will say Dayton Moore has been really proactive about, and that's one of his biggest causes, in the Urban Youth Academy that he started here. He's talking about reviving the Royals Academy that was a Ewing Kauffman project that produced players like Frank White back in the day. We need some more people that are thinking about the sport from a grassroots level. There's no doubt about that, Buster. Hopefully that comes maybe as a positive that comes from this sometime down the road.
Yeah, 100%. They have to get the sport in a good place, I think, in order to move forward, and that's going to, you know, would mean getting us to a place where the Player Association and Major League Baseball can work together. But it has been a recurring conversation they've had with people around baseball in the last few weeks.
Buster, thanks for the time, man.
All right, guys, thank you. Take care.
That is Buster Olney from ESPN. Back after this on WHB.